Books of the Bible. Luke was a physician and companion of Paul, who wrote an orderly account of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He meticulously details names, places, and events. Luke shows great concern for people of every class, especially overlooked or undesirable people. We are all from various places and classes, but Jesus Christ is the Savior for all mankind. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Just put a great big L on my forehead. Loser, this is Wretched Radio. How could I possibly be talking about John Mark Comer and his mystical, spiritual, me-centered sort of version of Christianity? Because people are so looking for it. It's like, how does this stuff work? I don't want dualism anymore. I do believe that that Gen Z is experiencing this. This is a fast-moving generation because they're just inundated constantly with outside voices, with social media, TikTok videos that inform them, this is how you should be feeling. No, today, this is how you should be thinking. This is what you should be doing these days. And so Gen Zers, who initially just rejected all forms of religion, now they're seeking religion because they want something deeper. They want something big. They don't want something that's trite and silly. Furthermore, they don't want it over there. They don't want religion that they visit perhaps on Sunday when they feel like getting out of bed. They don't want a religion that is something that only gets called upon in times of crisis. They want it all the time. They don't want dualism. With dualism, we've been battling dualism now for, well, forever, since the New Testament. Plato, the religion is one realm, reality is another, and there the twain shall meet. Second floor, first floor. On the first floor, you've got science, you've got logic, you've got reason. Second floor, you got religion. Keep it up there. But it doesn't belong down on the first floor. And that mindset is one that is prevalent among people because it's our proclivity. And it is something that the Bible seeks to help us with, to live a holistic life. Now, the problem is, there have been so many different inventions trying to help you bridge that dualism, to bring the second floor down to the first floor. And they're all just that, programs, systems, whether it's Watchman Nee, whether it's the Desert Fathers, whether it's the Emergent Movement, whether it's John Mark Comer, they're all seeking to bridge the gap, to bring it together. But when it is a system that goes beyond church disciplines that the Bible prescribes, well, then you got yourself a system. And you got something that is going to definitely be trendy. How come evangelical trends don't endure? It's because they're trends and they don't work. Anybody praying the prayer of Jabez these days? Anybody doing the Jabez, getting your territory expanded because of Jabez? And doubt it. Not many. Maybe on occasion it kind of rings a bell for somebody and they utter that prayer. But otherwise it's gone. Why? Because it didn't work. You know how many millions of people were praying that God would expand their territory? And for many of them, it didn't. And perhaps for most of them, it shrank. It doesn't work because it's trendy. And so too is this latest version of mysticism, of cobbling together a worldview from psychology, a cobbling together a worldview that is just the philosophy of the day, which is it's about you and making yourself happy. That's just not the way the Bible tells us to go about it. So be mindful. Sorry about that. That's another system. Be mindful of systems and programs. I'm currently writing a book, and I got to tell you, it's addressing this issue. And it's not easy because not everything that these mystics say is wrong. Not everything the pietists taught was wrong. The Christian life is supposed to be 24/7. The question, of course, is how does that work? And that's why I'm a big loser. John Kratz, he's going to be doing an in-studio event here at Fortis Institute, The Spirit-Filled Life. B-I-N-G-O, there it is. You need the Holy Spirit actively working in your life and you doing the things that cooperate with his work. And increasingly, your Christian life, it'll just be who you are. Not something that you visit. It just becomes increasingly who you are. But without the Holy Spirit, forget about it. I was mentioning John Owen's book about the mortification of sin. And he was adamant about this. If you do not work with the Holy Spirit, remember, it is a synergistic process, this sanctification that we are set on. That we got to do stuff, but it's got to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. He gets credit for everything that we do. Nevertheless, we got to do it. And without that Holy Spirit working in us, there's going to be no power. There won't be mortification. There won't be transformation. And your Christian life will always be compartmentalized. If you would like to be in... Is that what this is?
Yeah.
Okay, register. If you want to join us, we're in Alpharetta, Georgia. John Kratz is going to be doing this seminar. It's only a one-day deal. Saturday, August 30th. It's free. Space is definitely limited, but you need to register so we know how many folks are going to show up. FortisInstitute.org/Holy Spirit. FortisInstitute.org/Holy Spirit. And it looks like we rightly capitalized the H and the S. Why are we going through a trend where we no longer capitalize pronouns when they refer to God?
I don't know.
Who started this? It needs to stop. Can we not indicate that God is unlike any other pronoun? That he should be capitalized? At any rate, FortisInstitute.org/Holy Spirit. Do you know how the Holy Spirit works in your life? Or does it feel mysterious? That's what John Kratz is going to address. He's going to talk about the Holy Spirit's work in the Old Testament, what it means to be led by the Spirit. That bridges your dualism right there. How are you led by the Spirit? How does the Spirit direct your path? Is it mystical? No. Is it some sort of sensory that he gives you a nudge or a prompting or a liver shiver? No. John Kratz will address that. Killing sin by the Spirit of adoption, knowing your identity in Christ, and then ultimately the gifts of the Spirit. I got to tell you, knowing your identity in Christ, I think it's really crucial. Our next book at Alpharetta Bible Church, methinks, is going to be 1 Peter. And 1 Peter is if you're not aware of the foundation of the Christian faith and what should energize every single thought, word, deed, and activity of the Christian, it's a mysterious book in dealing with the subject of persecution because it doesn't really deal with the subject of persecution. It gives no practical tips. It only talks about your salvation in Christ. And that sets the table then for enduring persecution.
Hold on, let me grab it
right here. 1 Peter, why does he take really two chapters, at least 1.5 chapters, where he spends time talking about how great your salvation is? It's because you need to know that to endure that. That's the basis of the holistic Christian life. Who are you? Or better yet, whose are you? To whom do you belong? What is he like? What's he doing? What's his assignment for you? Getting that straight makes the Christian life natural and easy, and it doesn't require systems and experiences and trends. All right, here's 1 Peter. To the pilgrims of the dispersion, and he lists all the places. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, that was Trinitarian. Grace to you and peace. And then he launches into your heavenly inheritance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that doesn't fade away. That's yours, Christian. That's yours. This is who you are. This is what you've been given. This is what you will be. It will not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you suffer various trials. But it's going to do something. It's going to prove the genuineness of your faith, tested by fire, so that it may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. You believe in him, even though you don't see him. You rejoice with joy, full of glory, receiving the end of faith, the salvation of your souls. And on he goes. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired. And then he talks more about your salvation. Why? I think that's maybe the missing component for many Christians who still live dualistic lives. There's no second floor. There's no first floor. There is you in Christ. That's your position. That's who you are. Now, you simply live that out. How? Next on Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies. The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute Fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum, available right now for free at fortisplus.org. That's fortisplus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now. So here's something you don't hear every day. Hey, we're closing our store to serve you better. That sounds a little backwards, right? Well, it actually makes perfect sense in our world. We're permanently shutting down and closing the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. But before you panic, here is why. Our gospel partners have made it possible for us to offer all of our resources digitally for free on Fortis Plus. We're basically going to become the Netflix of biblical resources, except without the subscription forever. It's free. But here's the thing. We've got all this physical inventory just sitting around, and we want to put it in your hands. And so if you want an opportunity to grab books and DVDs and CDs and booklets, you've got this month to do it. Up to 75% off. Think of it like this. This is our going out of business because we're getting into a better and bigger business sale. Head to FortisInstitute.org because, you know, sometimes closing a door means opening a much, much bigger one. FortisInstitute.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 describes the Son of Man who came from heaven, received worship from all nations, and rules a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Jesus uses this title to affirm that he is fully human and fully divine.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What does a 24/7 Christian day look like? I'm not going to tell you. Why? Because I can't. This is Wretched Radio. This is the very reason why so many systems are invented for Christians to help us be holistic Christians, that our entire life is colored by Christianity. I think the reason that all of these systems are invented is because we fail to recognize what it looks like to live a 24/7 Christian life. We think that if it looks like this prescription, that if you do these things, here's your checklist, then you're living the Christian life. I don't think that's what it means to live the Christian life. I think it is more organic because you're a new creation. You are in Christ. You're brand new. Yeah, you still got that corrupted flesh that wars against your new nature. You don't have two natures. You just have one new nature. You got that flesh that you war against. That new nature of yours is who you are. You don't gin it up. It doesn't come to life when you're at Bible study. It's who you are. This is your identity in Christ. Now, here's where I think that there's a crack for so many people that allows these systems to be invented. That being a Christian 24/7 doesn't mean that you're perpetually thinking Christian thoughts. Before I even take a breath, let me explain that, because you're going to go, oh, so you're just going to let us be like that other group of pietists, que sera, sera. Not saying that at all. There's no better thought you can have than to think about Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't you want to? There's no better consultant for your decision-making process than Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't you have regular meetings with him? I am not suggesting that this gives us permission to be like, what? I haven't prayed in weeks. Doesn't matter. I know my identity. I'm good to go. No. We desire those things because he is the one that is most desirable. Having said that, you can't be perpetually mindful about God. You just can't. Now, that doesn't mean that you aren't being transformed by him and that your mind isn't being renewed by him, and that increasingly your mind is set on him as you live that out. But it's that living out part that sometimes causes problems for people. You go to work for 8 hours and you're thinking about a lot of stuff that doesn't really have a Bible verse attached to it. And you might be deceived into thinking, oh, I'm not being a Christian. I'm only a Christian when I do Christian things. Wrong. You are a 24/7 Christian. That's who you are. And you're on assignment and you need to go about the business of faithfully walking that out in your context with your personality based on your schedule, which, by the way, can ebb and flow. And as you increasingly go about the business of gazing at your Savior, staring at him with unveiled face, increasingly you're going to become like him. You're not going to get to some place where you reach this state of Hindu bliss. No, you're going to continue to grow in your knowledge of Jesus Christ, and increasingly he will be on your mind. Increasingly. But when he's not, because you're never going to be like 24/7, I'm just sitting in a corner and I am just thinking about the book of Philippians right now. That's not the Christian life. And when people fail to remember that, they try to create systems to create that. Your identity is in Christ. Now, the Bible, it does give you instructions with how to go about the business of increasingly being conformed into his image. It gives you things to do. That is certain. But where I think a lot of people then fall down is when they're not doing those things, which we would call the means of growth. They think, I'm not being a Christian. Yes, you are. Now, you might be acting like a bad Christian, but you're a Christian 24/7. It is who you are. You've been purchased. You're bought. You're owned. That's not a word that we like to use these days. Do they still use that? Is that like part of the vernacular these days? You got owned, man. That's actually a good thing. I think easy. Emile Zwane. I think he's the one who identified that. To say, you know, you've been owned is bad. Not if you're a Christian. Not if your owner is Jesus. There's just no better master than he. That's who you are. You do live the 24th. When you're sleeping, you're living the Christian life. You're a servant who's getting some rest, who's getting his battery recharged. You're making a meal and you're reading the recipe because you don't know how to put all of the ingredients together. And you're not thinking about the book of Philippians at the moment. You're a Christian who's on assignment. You're making food for people. You're shoveling the driveway. Oh, the flashback that I just had. You're shoveling the driveway. Probably not thrilled about it, but there you are shoveling the driveway. Are you being a 24/7 Christian? Yes. Yes, you are. Even if you're not thinking about Jesus. Now, would it be a wise thing to use your time while you're kind of mindlessly shoveling the driveway to think about Jesus? Yeah. And increasingly, you're going to want to do that. Increasingly. But even when you're not, because life and its demands, they don't allow you to always be thinking sanctified thoughts about the Savior, you're still a 24/7 Christian. And increasingly, as you rest in that, you're going to want to do those things that increase your Christ-likeness. You're going to want to do them. You're just going to want to. And you're not going to need a system to chain you down to your desk to read your Bible, because you got to. You have to read your Bible. Because it's like, do I debate whether I'm going to breathe air today? That's just what I do, and I want to do that. That will happen for you increasingly, not by neglecting your walk. Not saying that. Don't neglect your walk. To neglect your walk is foolishness. Instead, cultivate your walk, and as you go about the business of doing that, don't feel like your faith is on the second floor because you're mowing the lawn. You are a Christian. And the systems that people like John Mark Comer, the McLarens, the Bells, the Desert Fathers, the Watchman Nees, they all try to persuade you that it's feelings driven, that it's mystical, that you should be walking around with an aura that just emanates from you because, ooh, you're so spiritual. Now, it's tricky to deliver a diatribe like this because it could be easily misconstrued. Oh, so you just want us to be like liberal Protestants or something? No, not saying that at all. By the way, did you see the ELCA? They have now changed the Nicene Creed. Aren't they smart? If you're not familiar with church history, you maybe don't know that one of the reasons, there were others, and this one, it always just seemed like was a theological mechanism that was used for the separation between the Eastern and Western churches. It's the filioque phrase, the word filioque, son and son. It's Latin. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, filioque, and the Son. Eastern Orthodox Christians do not use "and the Son." They just say that the Holy Spirit emanates from the Father. That was the theological tool that was used to divide the East and West. There were other things going on, but that was a big deal. The ELCA has decided they're going to, this is hysterical. So you've got, for 1,500 years, people reciting, "He proceeds from the Father and the Son." The ELCA, in an effort to bring about unity with the Eastern Orthodox Church, has decided we'll no longer filioque. And what have they done? First of all, I doubt that that's brought them unity with the Eastern Orthodox Church. They're way more serious than the ELCA, but they have separated themselves from the rest of Christian Orthodoxy. So they're just changing theology because, well, they're worldly, frankly. So I don't want you to be a liberal Protestant. Don't want you to be liberal at all. But I don't want you to be underneath a legalistic system, which oftentimes these trends become just that. that you're a bad Christian if you're not. Look, if you're neglecting your spiritual walk, you're not being a bad Christian, you're sinning. And you should know that Jesus still loves you, even when you fail, even when you neglect him, he never neglects you. And that should cause you to repent and then desire him more and more and more. And you will live that out where you are with the number of children you have or don't have, married, single, boy, girl, it does not matter, student, or you're retired. The 24/7 Christian life is not programmatic. It is unique. God does not crank out homogenous Christians where we're just assembly line and we all look the same. Nope, he's more creative than that. And the Christian life cannot be defined by a particular formula. The formula is Christ. Now live it out because you are a Christ one. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.